Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Lord willing, we'll begin reading with verse 13 and read through verse 16. The Word of God says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The main thoughts that are on my heart found in verse 16, where the Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." For it, that's the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's the main thought that's on my heart. I believe that everybody here, at least most everybody here, knows and understands that our Savior, the one who has saved us from eternal hell to eternal heaven, is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior.
Amen.
He is the one and the only one that has ever had any part in saving us eternally from our sins. And by saving us from our sins, He saved us from eternal hell. And we will be in the eternal heaven one day because of the work of Jesus Christ, who is also called the living Word. He is the Word that liveth and abideth forever. And sometimes the people of God confuse the difference in the work of the living Word and the work of the written Word. The living Word, Jesus Christ, saved us eternally from our sins, and the written Word, or the Gospel, saves God's people who have already been redeemed from eternal hell. The written Word of God saves the people of God from a hell here on this earth to a heaven here on this earth if they believe and obey the gospel. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ should not be something we are ashamed of. That's what Paul is saying. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are parts of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and remember that the word gospel simply means what? Simply means good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of anything pertaining to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was saying, I am not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the living Word, but that's not what he's talking about. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of anything in the written Word of God. And you and I need to be just like Paul was. We need to never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Certainly we should not be ashamed of Christ our Savior, but we also should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ, the written Word, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. When the people of God believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, it saves them from many kinds of things while they live here in this world. You'll remember that James, in James chapter 1 and verse 21, the Word of God there says that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now that engrafted word there in James 1:21 is the same thing as the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the written word of God. And the word of God says in James that the written word or the engrafted word is able to save your souls from death. The people of God, if they will hear the word of God, if they will hear and believe the word of God, if they will hear, believe, and obey the word of God, they can save themselves from all kinds of trouble, and they can save themselves to a lot of joy and blessings. They can save themselves from separation from God, and they can save themselves to fellowship with God. That's what Peter was talking about when on the day of Pentecost he was preaching, and he told the people there, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Brethren, we need to know and we need to understand there are different salvations taught in the Word of God. There is eternal salvation, and that is the work of God and God alone. Amen. I did not save myself from eternal hell, and you didn't save yourself from eternal hell. Eternal salvation is 100% the work of God and God alone. He didn't 99% complete the work and leave it up to you to do one little thing so you can be saved eternally. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now I want us to look at various portions of the gospel of Christ. Let's back up first of all to Matthew 1:21. And let's see, are we ashamed of any portion of the gospel of Christ? I believe that many children of God, in fact, I would say that most children of God, when they hear some portions of the gospel, they're ashamed of that. And they certainly would not tell anyone they believe that, even if they do believe that. And I really think, brethren, that sometimes we don't really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Word of God tells us something about the gospel of Christ. What does the word gospel mean again now? It means good news. Here's some good news. Here's some good news about Jesus. Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph, listen to this good news now. The good news is, and she shall, that is, Mary shall. Was there anything that could stop what he's about to say here? Was there anything that could keep Mary from bringing forth this son? No. Why not? Because it's a work of God. God said, she shall bring forth a son. Could it have been a girl? That virgin birth, that first birth, could it have turned out to be a girl? No, it could not have turned out to be a girl because God is the one that had ordained that Mary was going to bring forth Jesus Christ, a son. And Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, brethren, that's the greatest news I have ever heard in all the Word of God. The most wonderful thing that I've ever read and ever heard. The most beautiful part of the gospel of Christ is the fact that Jesus saved his people from their sins. And part of that gospel of Jesus saving his people from their sins, part of that is identifying who are his people. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Word of God talks about the doctrines of election. That God chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now, brethren, are you ashamed of the doctrine of election? Are you ashamed to declare what the gospel says about God choosing a people before the foundation of the world? You better not be ashamed. That's part of the gospel. That's part of the good news. And not only did he choose a people before the foundation of the world, the next verse says, he predestinated us. to be conformed to the image of His Son? Are you ashamed of the doctrine of predestination? I had a young man this past week who sat down with me and he said he wanted to study God's Word. And then I said, now what have you heard about us that you say you don't believe? And he said, one of the things is predestination. I said, well, what do you think the Bible teaches about predestination? He said, all I know is that y'all believe in predestination. So I gave him an assignment. I said, you go home and you study God's Word and you find out what God's Word says about predestination. Quite frankly, brethren, it doesn't matter what you think or I think, but it does matter what God's Word says. And the Bible talks about part of this wonderful gospel is the good news that God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. One day, because God has chosen, because God has predestinated, because God has redeemed, because God has quickened us, because God is going to raise us from the dead, because God is going to take us to glory, because of the amazing grace of God and the mercy of God, I'm going to be in the eternal heaven one day. And a people, not a few, but a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, all the people of God, all the family of God is going to be with Him forever in the eternal heaven. And that's part, not all, but that's part of the gospel. That's part of the good news of the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that gospel? Does believing the gospel that I've just mentioned to you, does that save you? Yes, heads are going both ways. I'm telling you, it doesn't bring about eternal salvation. Those that are doing like this are talking about eternal salvation. But it does save God's people from a lot of fear. It saves me from ignorance. The truth is important, brethren. The truth is of ultimate value to the people of God. We are not the church if we don't uphold the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed of any portion of the gospel of Christ? Do you think I was ashamed when that young man said to me, you believe in predestination? Was I ashamed? No, I was glad he opened the door. I was glad I could tell him, go home, look in God's Word. Because he had already told me what he believed. And I said, write what you just said down. And then he told me what else he believed. I said, write that down. And I said, I want you to go home and find what you say you believe. I want you to find that in the Word of God. And then what you say we believe in that you don't think is true, find that in the Word of God. You know what will save you? Will the Word of God save you, brethren? Will it save you from ignorance? That's what Paul said in the beginning of the first thing that I read to you this morning. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. If you don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't understand the various ways that God has brought about eternal salvation, you need to study the Word of God. And you never ought to be ashamed of the good news that Jesus has saved you. Because believing that gospel will save you from fear. If me being in eternal heaven was contingent on me being faithful to God, I'd never be there. If me being in the eternal heaven was because, as a dead alien sinner, I had to believe on Jesus Christ, I'd never be there. Because a person cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unless God has first given them faith. And all of us were dead in trespasses and sins. And God came and quickened us. God made us alive. And then as He quickened us, part of the fruit of the Spirit of God that He gave us is faith. And as we have faith, then when we hear the faith of the gospel, the faith that's in us, can lay hold on and believe the gospel. Question. Do all of those who have been born again and have faith, do all of them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, they do not. Better than two-thirds of the world have died and never heard a word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I, as the people of God, we're blessed abundantly. We ought to rejoice because God, in His mercy and grace. And I would remind you that Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and grace and of all the truth which thou hast shown me. Well, brethren, we're not worthy of the truth that God has shown us. But we need to be thankful God has shown us some truth. You think I understand all the truth? Not even almost. I'm still learning. I've been preaching for 37 years. I learn something every week. God's Word is so amazing. There will never come a time that you can't keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and growing also in a knowledge of the truth of God's Holy Word. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it, the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you don't want to believe the gospel, you're going to miss a lot of blessings here in this world. Now, let me give you another part of the gospel. That's just one part of the gospel. And there are some people, that's the only part of the gospel they want to hear about. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Here's another part of the gospel of Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, listen please to verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. When Jesus went about preaching, everywhere He went, He preached the gospel, the good news. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And brethren, if we don't understand what the kingdom of heaven is, if we don't get that right, we're not going to understand very much of God's holy word. Jesus and all of the apostles and John the Baptist and every New Testament preacher, every one of them, they went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The scripture says here that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Back up to Matthew 4 verse 17, lest you doubt what it is he's talking about. Here he is preaching, Matthew 4 verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, is that good news? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Let me back up just a minute. Is the gospel of eternal heaven and eternal salvation, is that good news? Indeed it is. And the truth about eternal salvation being the work of God and God alone. And the truth that Jesus says, of all which the Father hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again in the last day. The truth that the devil and all of his angels cannot separate even one of God's children from the love of God. That truth is a great blessing. But here's another part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus is not only our Savior, but Jesus is our King. Jesus is today, right now, He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when this King was here on the earth, everywhere He went, He talked about and He preached the kingdom that He was going to establish. And He told these first people that He ever preached to, He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is... What are the last two words there? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Brother Buddy, what does at hand mean? Yeah, yeah. It's right there. That's right. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is right here. The kingdom of heaven is not the eternal heaven. And this is one of the biggest problems that Christians have today, is they've lost sight of the truth that many of our forefathers had. And the truth is that the difference in the kingdom of heaven and the eternal heaven, if that's not understood, you cannot understand the Word of God. Part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. If we're not preaching the gospel, the good news of not only the eternal heaven, but if we're not preaching the good news about the kingdom of heaven and the difference in what gets us into eternal heaven and what gets us into the kingdom of heaven, if we're not preaching the truth about the kingdom of heaven, if we're ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, you're going to find out there are serious consequences of ever being ashamed of any part of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven? I hope not, because that's wonderful truth. If you believe that right now, I hear so many of God's children say, "Oh, I look so forward to dying and going home to be with God. I look forward to the truth that one day I'm going to be with God. I'm living here in this world and I'm just existing. But one day I'm going home to be with God." I'm telling you that even though I look forward to one day going home to be with God, I'm so thankful that God comes down right now and dwells with His people here on this earth. I tell you, the good news is Jesus is here today. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is rewarding His people according to their works while they live here. Our eternal salvation is not, the Bible says, these are three different phrases in the Scriptures. The Bible says our eternal salvation is not of our works. The Bible says our eternal salvation is not by our works. The Bible says the eternal salvation is not according to our works. But I'm telling you, brethren, you cannot enter this kingdom of heaven without being a doer of the will of God. You've got to work. You've got to serve the Lord if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Is that good news? Is that good news? Are you glad there's this good news about the kingdom of heaven right now? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Did you know that this gospel of the kingdom of heaven is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And this gospel of the kingdom of heaven, it'll save you. It will save you. Because when you begin to realize and understand Jesus is right now, Jesus is right now ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is reigning over His kingdom, and He is rewarding His people according to their works right now. That's good news. Great blessings for the people of God who understand that good news. I also need to understand that He's rewarding me according to my works, and that when I walk contrary to His Word and His way, I need to understand there are going to be serious consequences, because Jesus is judging right now. He judges His people right now while they live. Those that are not redeemed will be judged in the final resurrection, but God's people are judged right now. That's good news. It's good news when you're being persecuted and people are saying all manner of evil against you falsely. It's good news to know the judge is still in control. It's good news to know God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Isn't it good news to know you don't have to get even? Isn't it good news you better not get even? Isn't it good news to remember that it's in the Lord's hands, and He is aware of everything that happens? That's good news. Tell you another good part about the gospel of Christ, and that's the good news about His church. Jesus told Peter, He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Isn't the gospel the good news about the church? Isn't that good news? And who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Whose church is it? Jesus Christ. Who purchased this church? Jesus Christ, who built this church. Jesus Christ, who is it that keeps this church? Jesus Christ, that gives me great joy. The devil and all of his angels cannot destroy this church if, capital I, if this church follows the Word of God, if this church loves God, if this church will put God first, if this church will follow God, if this church will believe the gospel and obey the gospel, this church will not die. Any church that has ever died, it has been because the Lord stopped adding to the church and because the Lord removed His candlestick. But as long as a church follows the Word of God, serves God, loves God, recognizes Him as the head of the church, that's good news, brethren. That's good news. He's the head of the church. It's good news to me to know I'm not the head of the church. It's good news to me to know Brother David's not the head of the church. It's good news to me that there's no board over the church. There's no man over the church. The only one that's over the church, the head of the church, is Jesus Christ. And He's told the church exactly what we're to do while we live here in this world. It'll save us. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Lots more about the gospel. I want to give you one verse in closing. Turn in closing to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I want to ask you, are you ever ashamed of the gospel? Are you ever ashamed of Christ? Are you ever ashamed of the Word of God? Are you ever ashamed to do what God's Word says to do? Are you ever ashamed to tell other people the gospel? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know what Paul said in Philippians 1:17? He says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I'll tell you, brethren, as long as Paul lived, he was not ashamed of the gospel, and he was set for the defense of the gospel. He would go toe-to-toe with anybody that ever began to try to alter the Word of God. He was set for the defense of the gospel because he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Wasn't his gospel, it was the gospel of Christ. Mark chapter 8, listen please to verse 38 in closing. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, the Word of God says that Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed. What did Paul say in Romans 1:16? I'm not ashamed. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. If you're ashamed of the living Word, or if you're ashamed of the written Word, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Can God be ashamed of you, a child of God? Yes, he can. Jesus has come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, and he has established his kingdom. And if you deny him before men, he'll deny you before the Father. If you're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of you. May God help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
Amen.